Is it possible that our own U.S. military has actually recently classified evangelical Christians and Catholics and Mormons as religious extremists on the level of Al-Qaeda? No, that doesn't sound feasible. Well, welcome back to part two of our Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. And right now in another pre-recorded program or interview, we'll be talking with Robert Spencer, who's written several books on the important threat of radical Islam, and he maintains the website jihadwatch.com, or is it .org? I forget.
Either one works, Jerry.
Either one works. Good. Well, Robert, welcome to the program, and it just sounds so unbelievable, but we're living in unbelievable times, aren't we?
Ain't that the truth.
So tell us about this recent finding that you all have reported on, where in a U.S. military, a U.S. Army, one of the slides labeled evangelicals, Catholics as examples of religious extremism, and then included in that list Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. I mean, I'm sure that probably a lot of your listeners are not even going to believe it when I tell you, but this was a U.S. Army presentation given to the Army Reserve personnel. And it actually showed a slide that simply headed religious extremism, okay? And number one on the list was evangelical Christianity, followed by the Ikhwan, or Muslim Brotherhood, of Egypt, followed by ultra-Orthodox in Israel, followed by Christian Identity, and then Al-Qaeda and Hamas and Abu Sayyaf, which is erroneously listed as Abu Sayyaf, in the Philippines, which is another jihad terror group, and then the Ku Klux Klan, and then a Hindu group, and then Catholicism. And so what you have here is a list that it purports to give examples of religious extremist groups, and it's lumping together evangelical Christianity and Catholicism with Al-Qaeda and Hamas and the Ku Klux Klan.
Now, you have on your website, so if anybody wants to go to the website and see this actual story, you have a copy of the slide. So you actually have the goods on this particular video, in case anybody, or not video, but the PowerPoint presentation that was given. So if anybody wants to deny it, well, there it is in black and white, or
absolutely.
In color.
And the story's been out there now for a few days, Jerry, and the U.S. Army has made no attempt to deny it. It's clearly accurate.
Surely they don't believe this. And by the way, let me just say this. I interviewed a guy just a couple weeks ago who works a lot in Christian video. His name is Phil Cook, C-O-O-K-E. He's really savvy when it comes to media, the new media, the social media, you know, everything. He's always on the cusp of these things. And he said he estimates that about maybe 100 million out of 310 million Americans are, you know, roughly you could call them evangelical. And we know there's about, what, 80 million or so Catholics in this country. And yet the Catholic Church and the evangelicals are claiming, or they're saying that we're extremists, religious extremists. I mean, that's just, it's mind-boggling.
It's more than mind-boggling, Jerry. You're absolutely right. And it's also ominous, because we already know that early on in the Obama administration, the Obama Department of Homeland Security came out with a report that spoke about extremism and focused on Army veterans and right-wing extremists. And by right-wing extremists, it was clear from the description that they were talking about patriotic Americans who opposed the Obama administration's policies, not racists or some sort of terrorists or something, but just ordinary people. And this is just another indication of that. I've also gotten a year or so ago indications that that my website, Jihad Watch, is on a list that's being monitored by the Department of Homeland Security. And I think, great, guys, monitor away. Maybe you'll learn something. Mm. But the implications of it are nonetheless, as I say, ominous, because it seems to me to be clear that the Obama administration is trying to turn the guns around. And instead of fighting against jihad terrorism, they want to take the fight to patriotic Americans who are on the other side of the political spectrum from the policies they're pursuing.
And it's interesting, at the end of the list, if I'm not mistaken, is Islamophobia. So in other words, being an Islamophobic is just as dangerous as being a member of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, and see, Islamophobia is a trumped-up concept to start with that's used by Muslim Brotherhood groups in the United States to intimidate people into thinking that there's something wrong with resisting jihad and Islamic supremacism. And so now apparently that's the official position of the U.S. Army, that to resist jihad and Islamic supremacism is something that is it classifies you as a religious extremist who is somebody who is lumped together with groups that the United States is avowedly at war with, like Al-Qaeda. And so how long will it be before they go to war with evangelical Christians and Catholics and so-called Islamophobes?
This is absolutely mind-boggling. First of all, this can't possibly represent the official position of the U.S. Army, can it?
Well, I'm waiting for the U.S. Army to disavow this and apologize. And, you know, it could happen. I mean, after all, look, I used to train military personnel. I used to go in to military bases and give seminars about Muhammad and Islam and the teachings of the Quran. And, of course, Obama stopped all that at the behest of Hamas-linked and Muslim Brotherhood-linked Islamic groups in the United States, like the Council on American Islamic Relations and others. All of that kind of training, not just me, but many others who were going in and telling the truth about Islam and jihad, were shut down, and the training materials were cleansed entirely of any reference to Islam and jihad in connection with terrorism. Now, that is terrible enough in itself, but now we see what they filled the vacuum with. And that is with this bogus information about Americans who are completely law-abiding and patriotic and don't pose the slightest threat to the country, but only pose a theoretical threat to one political position within the country that happens to be the dominant one right now. And so, I think, well, the one sign of hope is that they turned around before, that they turned away from the truth and turned toward this unreality about the jihad threat. But that also means they can turn again. And so, you know, if they repudiated all the accurate training materials, let them repudiate this inaccurate training material.
Well, you said in this article, this is not going to end well. What do you see happening potentially?
Well, I see that if they do not repudiate this, and if they don't turn around and reject this and apologize, then what could happen is exactly what we're talking about, that they could go to war with Catholics and evangelical Christians and people who are resisting jihad and Islamic supremacism. I mean, the implication of that, it's not a subtle. It's right there on the surface. For so many years now, the Obama administration officials and Obama himself have insisted that they're fighting against Al-Qaeda only. Al-Qaeda is the enemy. Nobody else, not even the Taliban in Afghanistan. Everything that we are doing against jihad terrorism is focused on fighting Al-Qaeda. And so now Catholicism and evangelical Christianity is the same as Al-Qaeda. Well, then, you know, it doesn't take much to see what kind of other shoe is going to drop here.
This is unreal. And by the way, you study a lot about Islam, and how many books have you produced to date on the subject of Muhammad and Islam?
12.
Okay. What's your most recent? And by the way, go ahead and feel free to give a commercial, promote a website. Go ahead.
It's funny you say that, Jerry, because just today, I just put up a post about it at Jihad Watch, and I just got the books yesterday. My new book is called Not Peace But a Sword, The Great Chasm Between Christianity and Islam, and it's available now. It's about dialogue. You know that so many religious leaders, Christian leaders, they want to pursue dialogue with Muslims, and they think that they are getting somewhere when they have these nice friendly meetings with friendly, smiling Muslim leaders. And in this book, I show the pitfalls of that and the dangers of that approach for the church. And so the book, again, is Not Peace But a Sword, and it is the subtitle is The Great Chasm Between Christianity and Islam, and it's available now at any self-respecting bookstore.
Okay, and also more information at jihadwatch.org or jihadwatch.com. Yes. And one of my favorites that you did was the Politically Incorrect Guide, both to Islam and to the Crusades. And I found that extremely fascinating. But going back to Al-Qaeda itself, okay, where the president said we're not fighting against Islam, we're just fighting against Al-Qaeda. But apart from Al-Qaeda, isn't it true that there are other, I mean, dangerous, by anybody's criterion here, dangerous Islamic movements that are still dedicated to killing the infidel and killing, you know, let's say a Muslim who converts to Christianity?
Oh, absolutely. A Muslim who converts to Christianity is under a death sentence. And the death sentence goes all the way back to Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, who said, if anybody changes his religion, kill him. And so it is still against Islamic law that for a Muslim to convert to Christianity or any other religion. And so the idea that it's wrong to oppose this, let's just remember that that is consigning thousands of people, if not hundreds of thousands, converts from Islam to Christianity to a life in which they are always under threat and always have to live with the possibility that they could be murdered at any moment.
Yeah. All right. I asked you two questions, and you answered very well the second one. So let me restate the first question, okay? If we were to take a pie, create a pie, and call that 100% of Islamic jihadists, in other words, those Muslims that would, you know, pick up the sword, pick up suicide bombing instruments, you know, whatever, they would actually kill for Islam. Of that 100% of jihadists, what percentage would be, let's say, Al-Qaeda? And obviously, you're going to guesstimate here.
Oh, I would say maybe about a fifth, maybe about 20%. I mean, that is a total guess. But you're talking about, there's so many other groups that are not Al-Qaeda.
Such
that
as?
Are absolutely involved in killing for Islam. You've got Hamas and Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, all arrayed against Israel. You've got Abu Sayyaf, which is high up on that religious extremism list in the Philippines. You've got groups in Indonesia, in Thailand. You've got groups in Kashmir, in India, and Nigeria, Boko Haram, Western Education is thin. None of these groups are Al-Qaeda. You've got Al-Shabaab in Somalia, which some people say is tied to Al-Qaeda, but is certainly a group of its own. You've got the group in Mali that took over large section of the country. And there again, it's tied to Al-Qaeda, but it certainly does seem to be an independent group in many ways. The thing is that these groups have a tremendous ideological affinity. I mean, of course, they all believe the same things. And so it's easy for them to unite. It's easy for them to collaborate. And that confuses a lot of Western analysts. But the idea that the Al-Qaeda is the sole enemy is extraordinarily short-sighted and leaves out a tremendous part of the problem.
So, in other words, let's suppose, theoretically, that all of the Al-Qaeda operatives in the world were taken out in one full swoop. Then you'd still have about 80% left of the jihadists, of the 100% of jihadists, because you said one-fifth.
So I mean, that's, like I say, that's a guess. It's just an estimate. But when you look around the world and you see that there are so many jihad groups around the world, and I just named just a small number of them, there's so many others, and they're not Al-Qaeda. And so you take out Al-Qaeda, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, the war is over when we took out Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And I was saying at the time, look, this movement was never centered around a charismatic personality. This movement is centered around a system of beliefs, and there are many, many others who hold those beliefs besides Al-Qaeda.
Well, I can't believe that our U.S. Army would be, that people would be so mistrained or misinformed as to think that an evangelical Christian or Catholic, let's say, you know, the people who run the soup kitchens, the Salvation Army is basically a denomination. It's a Christian denomination, and they're evangelical Christians, and they're going to go out and be, they're just as dangerous as an Al-Qaeda operative. I mean, it's mind boggling. It's a joke, really, but it's a nasty joke because there's potential, you know, problems down the road.
Oh, yeah, the problems are extraordinary, are enormous. I mean, if you think about it, religious extremism, okay, what does it mean, really? What's extremism? It means to me, Jerry, that you go to extremes. I mean, what else does it mean? It means that you are extremely dedicated to the teachings of the religion, right? And so consider that a religious extremist is Osama bin Laden, Everybody would agree to that. That means that he is extremely Muslim, right?
Right.
He believes in the Islamic faith to an extreme degree. Okay, so who is his counterpart, a religious extremist Catholic, since Catholicism is on the list?
Okay.
Well, who carries out the teachings of Catholicism to an extreme degree? Mother Teresa.
Right.
So you got Mother Teresa on one hand and Osama bin Laden on the other, and the U.S. Army is saying they're essentially the same thing.
I know. It's just mind-boggling. It's just, it's incredible. It's like, wow, these guys have the discernment of a porcupine. You know, there was a quote, since we're mentioning Catholicism, there was a quote from a Catholic leader from Chicago. And by the way, this radio station is evangelical, and I trust we do have some good Catholic listeners who are, you know, committed to Christ in their own way. But going back to this Catholic leader in Chicago, he said a few years ago that the way things are shaping up, I expect that I, the Catholic leader of Chicago, will die in my bed, but that my successor will die in prison, and then his successor after him will die as a martyr in the public square. But the
I
way
think that
yeah,
that
go ahead.
It's a scary statement, and it's probably true, and that it's true of Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, all
yeah.
Christian leaders.
Yeah, that's true. It, you know, and in some ways, talk about religious extremism. Jesus doesn't, you know, say, well, follow me if you feel like it. You know, he says, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, then you're not worthy to be my disciple. If you don't love your, if you love your parents more than you love me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. I mean, that's harsh and so forth, but you look at his teaching and you realize he's calling people to die to themselves and to follow him. But the fruit of following Jesus is just like what you said about Mother Teresa or what I said about the Salvation Army. That's the fruit of following Jesus. The fruit of following, you know, an Islamic extremist is killing people in the name of Allah.
Exactly. And so, you know, you line up anybody that you would think among evangelical Christians is somebody who embodies the spirit of evangelical Christianity to the fullest, or you could say most extreme degree. I mean, who would you say? Somebody like Billy Graham or something like that.
Right.
And they're putting him up against Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, basically making them a moral equivalent. So
yep.
I guess the question is for the U.S. Army, and by the way, who actually developed this? Do we know that? And where did they get this kind of information?
No, no information has yet come out. I'm hoping that it will, about who's responsible for this and what the provenance of it is. But we just know that it was part of training given to Army Reserve personnel.
And are they still using that training?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. Okay. On that list was something called Christian identity, which would be like skinheads. And, you know, the word Christian there is a misnomer, honestly. Same thing with the KKK. They identify them as supposedly Christian, but that is not Christian. Jesus said, love your enemies as well as love your neighbor as yourself. So, in fact, in your book about the politically incorrect guide to Islam and to the Crusades, you really did a fantastic job contrasting you know, Muhammad versus Jesus and the difference therein.
Well, this is a very important point, Jerry, because so many people just assume, well, he founded one of the world's great religions, so-called, and so he must have been somebody who taught peace and brotherhood and love. And I would think probably most Americans, if you think about Muhammad at all, assume that to be the case. But when you look at Muhammad's teachings and his actions throughout his life, it's a very, very, very different picture. And Americans need to know this, because the unfortunate fact is that the Muslims who are waging jihad terror around the world today are pointing to the teachings and actions of Muhammad and saying they're just following his example.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I found incredible about that listing in the U.S. Army training is that the first one listed as religious extremists who are dangerous and that we need to watch out for them and, you know, maybe take them down or something is evangelical Christianity. The first one listed.
The very first one, ahead of Al-Qaeda.
Well, I mean,
Al-Qaeda isn't even
it's a
number
joke.
Two.
It's a joke, isn't it? I mean, that can't be serious.
Unfortunately, I mean, you know, yeah, you would think, oh, this would be a parody of the left's most paranoid fantasy, except it's real.
Wow. Okay, we're talking right now with Robert Spencer of jihadwatch.org, and he is the author of 12 books on Islam. Tell us some of those titles other than the two we've mentioned.
Well, I have The Truth About Muhammad, which is a biography of the man, according to the earliest Islamic sources. And then a counterpart to that book is another book that is called Did Muhammad Exist?, which evaluates the historical value of those Islamic sources and calls into question the Islamic account of how Islam originated.
What is the book of all the ones you've written that you are most pleased with, that you feel like, wow, this is, you just feel the best about?
Well, you know, it's like asking which of your kids do you like best. You know, I love them all, but I am actually very proud of Did Muhammad Exist? Because that is, I mean, the other ones, a lot of them, they just say, they just reveal various aspects. I mean, like The Truth About Muhammad, it tells what the Muslim texts say about Muhammad. And so really anybody who read the Muslim texts could do that. And then I have The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, which is the same kind of thing. It really just says what's in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong, I'm very happy with those books. But Did Muhammad Exist? Is another thing that it's because I changed my own mind about this, and the more I investigated early Islam, the more I saw that Muhammad is not a historical figure, but a mythical figure, and that he was invented in order to justify violence and militarism done by the Arab Empire. And so I think, you know, that's something that most people don't know, and that most would not even be in a position to find out. And so I'm very pleased with that book.
Are you saying that Muhammad, the man that died in 632, did not exist? Or are you saying more like there's like legend that grew around him, so it's hard to get to the real Muhammad?
Yeah, really kind of both. There's a lot of problems with that 632 date when you start looking at it closely. And there is no indication, none whatsoever, Jerry, that Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, as he is depicted in the early Islamic biographical material about him, and as he is commonly understood to have been today, there's no indication that that person existed. There may have been somebody named Muhammad who may have fought some battles and was some kind of a warlord, but what we know about him is there's no way to distinguish fact from legend. And so it's got essentially the historical value of the stories of Robin Hood.
Wow. Well, you know, I want to tell you a story that happened a couple years ago. I've interviewed you a few times, of course, for Truth in Action Ministries, formerly known as Coral Ridge Ministries, founded by the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. So we put you on some of our specials. One of them was called Radical Islam on the March. And believe it or not, at one of the television distribution channels, in other words, like one of these major satellite outlets, okay, where they have hundreds of different stations going on at all at one time. One of our specials, it was the Radical Islam on the March, and you were a prominent player in that, started, and one of the operator, whoever it was that was, you know, running the board, you know, with all those different stations going on, took it upon himself to actually take our program off the air and then put something else on real fast about 2 minutes into the show when he saw what, you know, the direction of this program. And it turns out, you know, his name was Muhammad something or other, or Ahmed or whatever. You know, he had a Muslim sounding name, but they tried to trace his back, and that was all that they found. And then they couldn't find anything more in terms of, you know, what was the fellow disciplined for doing this? You know, what happened here? But that actually happened. And by the way, the particular part, I think, that that got him so rattled, we had a little section here, and I personally put that together, about the timeline of just recent attacks, you know, within the last 15, 20 years, you know, all around the world, examples of you know, attacks by Muslims. Of course, 9/11 being the most famous of them that killed 3,000 people. And can you believe that, though? I mean, somebody, you know, I guess sometimes those people take their faith more seriously than some of us Christians do, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not in the least surprised. It's dispiriting that that kind of thing would happen, but not at all surprising to me, because the Islamic supremacists in the United States and elsewhere are tremendous enemies of the freedom of speech. And the freedom of speech is something that is their foremost obstacle. Because if we can talk about what they're doing and why they're doing it, then we can work to prevent it. And there's a years-long effort by Islamic supremacist groups worldwide, particularly the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which is 57 Muslim governments around the world. They are trying to compel Western states to criminalize the freedom of speech. And so this guy would pull the plug on your show. That's just characteristic.
Wow. All right. Now, going back to this army list where they're saying that here are religious extremists to watch for. First on the list, as we said, evangelical Christians. Later on the list, we have Catholics. But they also put on that list Sunni Muslims. And then they think they specify within Iraq. And yet I'm thinking, wait a minute. Doesn't that mean millions and millions of people, many of whom may be just, you know, law-abiding Muslims who were not committed to jihad?
Yeah, and I think we should be glad, actually, that those are on the list, because the Obama administration has denied that we are at war with Islam so many times that it seems to me that that's our best chance to get this list repudiated, because the Sunni Muslims of Iraq is still just a small number of the Muslims worldwide. But, you know, we're not at war with Islam. Obama has assured us of this many, many, many times. And so if we're not at war with Islam, the Sunnis should not be on this list. And I think that's much more likely to get this list deep sixed than the fact that that the Catholics and evangelical Christians are on it.
You know, this is fascinating, too, because when you think about Sunni Muslims, correct me if I'm wrong, of the 100% of Muslims, doesn't that represent about 85% of Muslims? And then the other maybe 10 to 15% whatever would be Shiites, and then there's a small little sliver of other types. I'm not even sure what those are called.
Oh, yeah. So, well, they're all sorts of little groups. We can discuss that another day. In any case, the Sunnis, yes, are about 85 to 90% of Muslims worldwide. But the list only says the Sunnis of Iraq, as if somehow they have some sort of different beliefs from the Sunnis in Syria and the Sunnis everywhere else in the world. Now, that in itself is ridiculous, but it's our best shot, really, to get this thing gone.
Yeah. Is there any kind of move afoot that you know of to... you know, basically to try and mobilize people to write to the army and say, hey, please, come on, get a little common sense here. There's no way evangelical Christians and Catholics who, you know, are committed to their faith, or Mormons or whatever, are out there blowing up themselves and killing people on a bus, you know, all that kind of stuff.
How can you possibly put this?
Well,
I hope that somebody's working on it. And certainly if I can find, and maybe if any of your listeners know, if I can find the contact information for the people responsible. I mean, the Army is such a big thing,
yes,
and there are no names to attach to this. If anybody has any more information, send it to me, because I'll be glad to spearhead a drive like that if I knew who to contact.
Wow. Well, one thing I have heard from different sources is that supposedly whoever put this list together, they drew from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is... That's a group.
Well, that's a far left group that is involved in really a massive defamation campaign against patriotic Americans. Anybody that is opposed to their political views is demonized.
Yeah, and this is interesting, because the Southern Poverty Law Center had listed as one of their hate groups the Family Research Council. Now, that's Tony Perkins. Great guy. They're doing great work in D.C. Well, this one gay activist took upon himself, and the gay groups, by the way, have said, oh, we don't agree with this guy. But 28-year-old volunteer with the local gay chapter or whatever of the LGBT club or whatever, he goes to the Family Research Council, loaded to the hilt, ready to kill people, and then smudge Chick-fil-A sandwiches in their faces. And well, you know about this. This happened in August 2012.
Yeah, I didn't know he'd done that.
Yeah, and
what a monster.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
you know,
exactly. But it was the Southern Poverty Law Center's website that steered him on as to where to go. That's what he said in court.
Incredible.
Okay, how about a concluding thought?
Well, the SPLC really, that shows that they're the ones that are inciting to violence, not these groups like the Family Research Council or my own group, the American Freedom Defense Initiative, that they have listed as hate groups. And, you know, the worst part about it is the U.S. government is sponsoring this kind of perspective. It is extremely ominous. And Americans need to be aware that this kind of thing is happening because it has the potential to get very ugly.
Okay. For more information, see is jihadwatch.org. Thank you, Robert Spencer. Thanks for all the great work you do. All the best to you. God bless.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Bye-bye.